Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Drunk women.
That's right, you got a dance for no extra charge! Welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime! Yay! Thank you so much for coming out. We are recording this.
Ooh.
It will be released as an episode.
Oh.
So it's pretty exciting to be part of history.
That's what they'll call it. This is history.
And what are we about? I mean, I think the best way to understand, if you've never been or you've never listened, is think of us as a panel show if they let more than one woman on at a time.
It works. It really works. It's good.
Yeah. We're like what British television will look like in about 100 years.
Ooh. Oh, someone booed.
I've literally written this down. We are so excited to be at Leicester Square Theatre. I didn't have to write that down, but it's helpful. Wow, somebody has some blinking lights on their head, and I'm going to pretend it's not distracting me.
They've sat in the front row, too. They want you there.
And they have baubles on their beard a Drunk Women Solving Crime t-shirt.
Oh, okay. Yes!
Can security?
My friend...
Thank you for coming. Thank
that
you for
little
coming.
Light of yours, you better let it snore.
What's your name? Glenn. Welcome, Glenn.
Oh,
that's
hi, Glenn.
Glenn, security detail. Glenn. Okay.
Full name, Glenn.
No.
Right.
Thank you for
guys,
coming.
Guys, we're in this holiday mode where it's like, is it too early? No, it's not too early. Look, I have spent upwards of £17 on this dress. And so with that, I would like to introduce...
I mean, that much. That's...
Oh, no, do your this is where. Oh, do you do that before or after the guest?
So I'm going to introduce... I've got this, Wilkins. It's okay. I'm going to introduce my fellow detectives here. So with us, as always, is this... Oh, my God. It's like my mother's here. Honey, cross your legs. They can see your pants. With me, as always, is the comedian and author, Katie Wilkins!
Katie, how much did you spend on your outfit?
Oh, I think this jumper was more than $17 or pounds.
Ooh la la. And to my left, we have screenwriter Hannah George.
Oh, what an intro.
I'd save that for myself.
Ooh. Hannah's got some actors who she's written parts for in tonight, I think. Did you hear her? There she is. Hannah, how much did your outfit cost?
Do you know what? So this is a Christmas jumper. What film's it from?
Home Alone.
Little Nero's Pizza.
It was probably about £17 as well. That seems like
17 Club. Why am I asking what everything costs? There's a reason. It's because tonight's true crime has a lot to do with monetary value.
Ooh.
Yeah, we are about so much more than murder, guys. We do all of it. What is drunk women solving crime? Guys, it's where sweet vermouth meets super sleuth. It's where mulled wine meets parking fine. And it's where spiced glug meets violent thug. It took me 2 days to write this shit. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of mine! Right, without further ado, I would love to introduce our guest for the evening. She is a comedian, improviser, musician, presenter. She's the star of the MASH Report. Fuck me, she's talented. Say hello to Rachel Paris!
Oh, so many bubbles.
I've never worked in a bar.
Oh, Hannah.
Rachel, I'm not even going to ask what you spent on your outfit because I think we all know it was a lot more than us.
I think you'd be surprised. I think you'd be surprised. Oh, it's a podcast. It won't work.
It's long.
Look how long this skirt is.
Oh, wow. That's
cool.
Let's say it's not made for me.
That's wedding night. That's a train in the front and the back. That's exciting. Rachel, please, can you kick us off?
Yes.
By telling us, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yes, I have.
Scared.
Good panto reactions, guys. You guys are panto ready.
I'm the villain, by the way. It will become apparent. I'm really adorable.
Did you do this? So I found it quite hard thinking of... I know a lot of your guests say that. Like, it's hard to think of a crime that's been committed against you. But I twice have been the victim of theft.
Ooh.
And both thefts were musical instruments.
Oh, no!
I love musical instruments, but I just can't hold on to one.
Was it your parents and was it a recorder? Yeah. Mine went missing as well.
One of them was when I was about, I think about 13, I got a clarinet stolen.
Oh no!
Which is really sad because I knew that like my parents had really had to like save up to buy me a clarinet.
Yeah.
And I was such a little twat and I just was carrying it and I sat down on a bench like before getting a bus and I put it down with my school bag and when I left I just left my I left it there and I went back and it gone and that was awful but the worst was about 9 years ago when I was really sort of gigging around the country and I just started doing musical comedy for about a year with my like really really cheap keyboard you know that I picked up for like a tenner or something. And I was on the train after a gig in Bath or something, and I'd put it in the, I want to say, vestibule.
Oh, like the luggage bit on the top?
Like,
no.
To be fair, I'd left it, because it was big, it was a chunky motherfucker, and I'd put it in the the bit where people stand.
I think vestibule works for everything. Like I use it when I'm in bed.
Where the prams go and everything.
Yeah, there. Yeah, I'd put it there, and I just sat down near, and I thought I had my eye on it. Like, I'd sat so that I had, like, half an eye on it kind of thing. And I got up at the end of the journey, and it had gone.
Oh, wow.
And I felt so sad about it, because I was like, that is worth so little to anyone who's not a gigging musical comedian. You like, you'd have to be literally a gigging musical comedian. Like, if you, if you play anything else, if you like aren't, because if you're just a musician, that wouldn't be a good enough instrument to use. It's only good enough if you're a comedian who does a bit of a song. And so I was like, it's worth nothing to you, but to me, it's like really, really set me back. And it's hard to find. It has to be light enough to carry around. Everything's like, oh, I'm so sad.
My money is on Rick Wakeman. I mean, he has so many keyboards, doesn't he? That's a very dated reference, ladies and gentlemen. Who else is like a big keyboard guy now? Like, I don't know. Tim Minchin.
Yeah, but he goes for a grand piano now. You know, he's gone up.
Yeah, this case just got blown wide open.
Yes. He had to start somewhere. He had to start cheap. What if these crimes were related? What if it was somebody who saw your talent, couldn't handle it? They're like, it's a woman.
Sabotage.
Oh, my God.
And they've been following you since.
I don't want to say that you're onto something here, but
I think we run across this a lot on this podcast, though, where like obviously theft is something that people have been a victim of a lot. And in fact, it relates to our case. So well done. but it's that thing where when someone takes something that is worth nothing, but is worth everything to you.
Yeah.
I feel like the clarinet wasn't so much theft and more left. You kind of said it yourself. You're like, so I left it there, got on the bus, came back, it wasn't there. That's not your wardrobe. Like, you can't.
To be fair, but they did. But we checked all the police stations and things like that. Like, it wasn't.
How quick did you come back? Was it like at the end of school or?
Oh God, when was it? It was like we'd driven away.
Okay.
And then we drove back.
Oh, that feels like it's just someone nicked.
Oh my God! Yeah. Does anyone else see poor little Rachel looking out the back like The Graduate? Darkness, my old friend. I lost my clarinet again. Oh, it's heartbreaking. I know there's a lot of shit going on in the world, but this is painful stuff.
Yeah,
it really is. We're all affected. One of the things that we always ask, I'm nervous because now we've identified a possible famous perp, is we ask, what would you say if the people who took these items were in the room right now? You have a chance to say whatever you want, carte blanche.
Well, I'm going to set the clarinet aside.
Tim, fuck off.
But the keyboard.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's really important to just understand that people, you know, are in difficult places in their lives and they might do things that they regret. But I'd say, fuck you. You caused me so much trouble.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford to buy a new one.
Yeah.
Like, I had to save up to buy a new one. And what good did it do? They probably sold it on, like, a car boot sale for, like, one single pound. Yeah. And it was such a shitty thing to do. I'd say, you were a dick. I don't know if you are now. Yeah. Maybe you're a better person now. But at the time, I need you to know that 9 years ago, you were a real horror show. And you took away from the world some mediocre musical parody.
Which is unforgivable.
Yeah.
It is. The world needs that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Especially now.
That was very heartfelt.
Thank you.
I don't think I don't want to make you top that with the clarinet person because that's, we don't know what happened to the clarinet.
Like somebody on that day found a clarinet. That was the best day of their life.
It's
probably like the famous clarinet guy we're all talking about.
I feel like
about.
That's a happier story. They're like, hey, free clarinet.
Yeah.
Now I can get that scholarship or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we all steal without realizing. Like, tonight, this dress is a piece of shit, and it's really staticky, so I stole some deodorant. I just sprayed it right up my dress.
Oh, was that to stop the static?
We thought it was about your vagina. Oh. We did.
Does deodorant stop the
static?
Does deodorant stop static?
Is that why when I walked in, you're like, you can take the other dressing room? Oh, Jesus.
You and your vagina go in there.
Me and my... I like to call it my vestibule, am I right? Well. Now that we've whet our appetite for true crime, guys, this is how this works. I have the details of an actual true crime case. I'm hosting this ep, so the panelists have no idea what this case is. It's their job to try to unravel the details.
So let's see how they do. Just to sprinkle a bit of color, this case vestibule. This case has theft, fleeing fugitives, and it even has a Hollywood star.
Ooh.
I know. They really are panto. I really like it. Who knew that panto noises were the best thing for my self-esteem? All these years doing fucking headspace, meditation. Should have just listened to a panto audience. Where's your self-esteem? It's behind you. This crime involves the theft of an item which was worth a whopping $275,000 in 1959. You'll find out what that item is worth today at the end, but first question for the detectives. What could be worth $275,000 in 1959?
Was it your self-esteem?
Taylor's not that old, guys, it's fine. I can't work
That's what really hurt.
$275,000
in 1959. This is an item that was stolen.
What could have been? A diamond necklace.
You are so on point. Ooh. It's a diamond ring.
Yes.
Very
well
good.
Done.
The new recruit is good.
She is.
At the end of the day, the answer is always diamonds. I was born in the long era with less money than I should have.
So it was a diamond ring, and it was fucking massive. Now, I don't
Oh my
wear...
God, is it Elizabeth Taylor?
Sorry.
We're ruining this.
Detective.
Yeah. Again, I said that. I'm sorry.
You have a new nickname. Detective spoiler. But it's fine. Why don't we just go home? Let's just go to a bar. Is there a really big pub around here, like a giant one? No, it's fine. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, Wilkins.
Now, I've got a feeling it definitely isn't. I'm trying to help. Okay.
It doesn't matter, because that's not who the story is about. I don't wear my wedding bands anymore, but I wanted to talk about the size of diamonds. I don't wear them because I like to keep my options open. I'm just kidding. My fingers are just too fat now. But I want to ask you guys, for the average non-Kardashian, what's a big size for a diamond? What do you think?
Like, I don't know how you measure. Do you mean in terms of us going like this?
Carrots. Oh.
I don't know if there's like... For the audience, Rachel held up her fingers an inch apart.
I don't know if there's an official sizing.
Yeah,
word.
I don't know what the carat thing is either. I know that 24 carat is good for gold. Is it?
Like, I've heard of carats. I don't know what's good or bad.
Well, I think like half a carat or a carat is like, that's your basic engagement ring, right? And 2 carats is like, that's a big fucking, like, we're in Long Island and it's a big ring, right?
Oh, really?
2 carats is big. So what Good I want times. You, bear that in mind. Again, I'm doing the pinchy thing too.
I'm just thinking of like, do you remember those kind of like, what were they? Those ring pops. Do you remember from the 90s? I'm like, that's a big fucking diamond. Because that
amazing.
Took ages to like eat.
Yeah.
Those were big. I wonder how many carats those were. Ring pops.
Like 6 carats. I've got one.
Ooh, someone's married. Someone's very much not bitter about not being. It's fine.
I wish you'd been at the wedding. Someone's got married. Brilliant. It was lacking that. It was lacking.
Go on. What's yours though?
Some sarcasm.
I don't know. I don't know. Sorry. It was my engagement ring, and it's like. I don't know anything about the size. Or
was he
anything.
Just like, don't ask, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is, it doesn't matter, it's fine.
I didn't,
big one.
I never thought I'd want a diamond ring, but I was wrong.
I actually love that you guys don't know much about this. Like, I respect
no, I
you
don't know.
So much more, and I really realize that I lived in New York for too long. Because people are literally like, yeah, I'm engaged. Yeah, 3 carats, check it out. Literally, my friend, I might have to cut this out. My friend got engaged and she handed it to me. She's divorced now.
She handed me the ring and she's like, look at the shine on that. These are the people.
I feel like in London, amongst like my friends, the equivalent of like the New York diamond showing off is like how like made up and weirdly artisanal it is.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
They're like, this ring is made out of the cardboard from the ticket from the first cinema stub we ever saw. You know what I mean? Or like,
yeah.
He designed it himself from a fence we maneuvered over in the first car crash we had or something. Like the weirder the story, the more romantic it... Like, and if it's a diamond, people are like, oh, sorry about it.
That's so true. It's like hipsters trash capitalism.
A hypnotist hipster, if you will.
I'm done.
That was it.
I wouldn't know. I don't have a wedding ring.
So, 275 grand in 1959. How many carats for the panel who has no fucking idea what that means do you think this diamond weighed?
19.
Okay.
6.
6 carats. Very big.
Like 2,000. Is it 2,000? It's 2,000?
I reckon a ring pop is about 6 carats. It was 33 carats. Mm-hmm. This Titanic...
I'm the closest!
You were. Well done. This Titanic-esque monstrosity belonged to, and I quote from the FBI's own website, an attractive woman.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
Wow.
I'm not kidding. Named Vera Krupp. Even the goddamn FBI aren't above rating a woman. Like, so the FBI, the Bureau, decided to give her 8 out of 10, a 9 if she wore lipstick. That's bullshit.
I am not surprised.
Are you not surprised?
No.
On their actual website.
The FBI suck.
Oh, hot take about the FBI from Wilkins. Didn't know you had such... strong views on American law enforcement.
I mean, apart from in Silence of the Lambs.
They were really good in that.
Do you think, like, they do it for the... Because, like, the wanted in America, the FBI wanted thing, is, like, it's pretty much, it's 12 men. It's always men. And, like, if, like, Bin Laden, when he was up there, underneath, do you think it's like, oh, a hipster dish? Like, it's got all that beard. Like, they wouldn't do it.
They have to rate them.
Yeah. Oh, my God, maybe that's what 1 to 12 is. Like... It's not how many women they've killed.
The Bureau's gauge of attractiveness
word,
has been released.
Wouldn't. No way. Word. Wouldn't.
Good Lord. So, Vera Krupp, she was an American baroness who inherited a shit ton of money that was not on the FBI website when she divorced a wealthy German industrialist. And again, I do quote from the FBI here, Krupp loved the ring and wore it everywhere, always snug on her finger. Who could blame her? Did they let anyone write for their website? It's like TMZ.
Did they say who could blame her?
Who could blame her? Literally. I have it in quotes and I'm like, wait, FBI.gov. FBI.gov.
It's like the FBI recruited Barbara Cartland to sex up their dossiers.
Yeah.
Incredible.
My God. Okay, anyway, that's by the by. Krupp lived 26 miles outside of Las Vegas, which is arguably the only way to live in Las Vegas. Outside of it. At this point, she's divorced. She's living on a ranch. She's living her best life. Guys, how do you think the ring was stolen? Because, okay, she's in the middle of nowhere. She's on a big ranch. What's the scenario?
Chopped her finger off.
Ooh.
Whoa. You went right for it.
Look, I've never been on this podcast before. I thought I'd go big or go home.
I love that you did that.
Like, well, they said it's snug on her finger.
Oh,
so
yes.
You can't slip it off when she's sleeping or anything.
And she would have been wearing it in her sleep, probably.
Yeah.
So they said,
oh,
wherever.
Man, the new recruit is good.
She's so good.
She pays attention to clues and everything.
We hired her for her looks, but it turns out, like...
Yes!
Stuff up there.
Welcome to my career!
So, it was not quite that brutal, but very, very good
thinking.
No,
I'm glad.
Here's what happened. 3 men knocked on her door one night,
just as Vera was finishing up dinner with the ranch foreman. Pause for speculation.
Yeah. Good speculation noise.
Does one dine with one's ranch foreman? Katie, you live in the country. What do you do with your ranch foreman?
First of all, I would Google what is a ranch foreman. And we do have the internet, so I can totally do that. And then I would, I presume if I have an issue on my ranch...
The guy that runs the ranch.
Oh,
yeah.
I'd be like, well, we don't have enough hot water, but I don't want to just go, dude, sort your fucking water. I'd be like, just come have a little bit of cake. And, oh, by the way, could you fix the water? I don't know. I don't know. I'm out of my depth. I'm drunk.
I just wanted Katie...
Can I just pause the podcast to ask? Because I am a bit drunk now. Yeah. Okay. Are you always drunk?
I mean, I vary it.
You mean, okay, like, what do I tell my GP? Or...
We are professional, though, so
More than we meant to when we thought of the idea. Anyway.
I'm enjoying it.
The three men said that they wanted to pave her driveway. It's not funny. That's not a euphemism. It's just...
I mean, come on.
I can't say
it's
pave her
panto
driveway.
It's panto season. It's panto.
They forced their way in. They held off the foreman. They pinned Vera down.
Oh, no.
And they ripped off the ring.
Oh, I thought you were going to say ripped off a finger.
To the point of drawing blood.
Oh. Do you know what would have happened to me had somebody have done that? I would have farted. Because, do you know what I mean? I would have, and that would have been humiliating, wouldn't it? They've got my belongings, and...
That would have bought you, like, 10 seconds.
Yeah, it would have knocked them all out. Oh, yes.
Taking a whole new meaning to let one rip.
I've always got one in the tank, just in case.
In case of ring theft.
You really got to protect that ring.
Which one?
What did they do next? They've got the ring. Okay, what happens next? Rachel just leaned forward.
They've got the ring.
They've got the ring.
They run away.
Okay.
Run away.
That's a very good.
Did they not? Do they kill people? Tie them up, maybe.
No, I'd look for more stuff. Right?
Oh, it's like
go big or go home. That's the motto of tonight.
That's right, Detective Buttstuff.
Yes, thank you.
That's exactly right.
Thank you. If you haven't listened to the podcast before, Detective Buttstuff is my nickname. Thank you so much.
Katie's getting... Woo! Every time.
Not every time.
Every time. She comes out with a jumper and then she's just like, oh, what? No one will notice. It's fine. So they tied up Vera and the foreman back to back with a lamp cord.
Oh my God, back to back, like in every cartoon.
Yes. Genuinely, I know, I was kind of pleased about that detail. I'm like, oh, old crime, it's cute. They rifled through the house as though they knew it very well.
Uh-oh.
And they took off with a camera, a revolver, and $700,000 in cash.
Someone's in on this.
Yeah.
Who has that cash in their house?
I know! That's worth like, I don't know, like $1 billion now. That's so much money. I don't want to blame the victim, but like, Vera, baby, what are you doing with that kind of cash in your house? Are there no banks in Vegas?
Maybe she doesn't trust them because women aren't allowed banks. Were they allowed banks in 59?
Yeah, they had to get like a male
signature.
That's why she's dining with the foreman. He's like, I'll get you a bank if you give me meatloaf. Happens every day.
That's worth $1 billion.
Yeah, they definitely... I think stealing a camera... I know that cameras were like more expensive, but to bother to steal a camera... It's like someone's gone, by the way, the camera's worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
It feels very specific.
It feels like there's intel.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
From Elizabeth Taylor. Yeah.
She was known for that.
So eventually, Vera and the Foreman. It doesn't sound like a band. I can't help it.
Vera and the Foreman.
I love them. Love Woo! Them.
Who's your favorite Foreman?
The drummer.
So they shook themselves free. She happened to have a battery-powered phone, which was dead, which sounds like a bad system.
It sounds like an iPhone.
Wait,
like,
a battery-powered phone?
A battery-powered
phone. In 1959?
Yeah.
I'm going to need to Google this.
You're going to do some strongly worded
but, like,
Googling.
Seriously, that didn't...
I thought it was odd, yeah.
That just doesn't...
I don't know if it's because she was out in the middle of nowhere and the
signal
was...
Oh, she needed extra...
Taylor's making up science. anyway.
But, like, there was that, like, sorry, 1959.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's 10 years from man landing on the moon. It's the year the first episode of The Twilight Zone came out. Just...
This is Katie's big...
Wow. But do you know what I mean? Like, battery-powered phones doesn't...
That does sound... Like, when you think of, like, in the 1850s, big bricks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe she had the first brick.
I love this is the thing we're really sticking on.
Guys.
What about this phone, guys?
The only reason I include that detail is because they had to drive all the way to the airport to alert the authorities, so the three guys had some time.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so this is also what I love about the FBI website, is 90% of it is humble bragging. So I quote again, "We quickly got involved under the assumption," which later proved correct. It's like bureau-splaining, right? "Which later proved correct, that the stolen diamond would be transported across state lines." Like, okay, genius. Like, of course they're gonna take it out of state. Why would you stay in the same state with a diamond? Like, I'm not leaving Nevada. I was born here and I will sell my stolen diamonds here. Like, who does that? Fucking FBI. Oh my God, they're gonna be on me now, aren't they? This is how it happens.
Literally, not even from the podcast going out, from right now, you've got a file.
Oh, God, I'd love to feel that, like, important, wouldn't you? Oh, FBI file. It's like, yeah. Hannah is in her pajamas again.
You've got one too, butt stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, the butt stuff files.
Yeah.
Whoa, award-winning series. Sorry, sometimes we brainstorm ideas here. So, okay, so where did the thieves head? We know they went out of state. Well done, FBI.
Wait, what state are they in?
They're in Nevada.
Okay.
I was about to say they head to Nevada. I was like, I have Nevada in my head. I don't know why.
Did someone say Nevada?
I think they go to California.
Ooh, okay. Ooh.
That's good.
And maybe then down.
Down.
Down, down.
Down, down.
In the direction of Mexico.
Mexico.
Yes.
Ooh. Okay.
That works.
I think they go to LA because of the Hollywood thing.
Oh,
that's coming up.
Nice, okay. Nice. Very
not only guess. Rachel listens.
Oh, butt stuff, pulling it out of the bag.
Pulling it out of the butt.
That's good. That's good. fuck, I wish I had printed this in bigger font. Like,
could you pass me the
Oh, phone? Yes, okay. It's a trick question. Sort of, not really. What's a trick question? Okay, they drove in the most insane zigzag fashion you can imagine. Like, if you took an Uber and they did meth and just like drove around and tried to draw a sailboat. That's exactly what their route looked like. It's insane. We will post it when we post the episode. Yeah, it's just crazy.
Did they still have that camera with them? Maybe they were doing a sort of pictorial journey.
Yeah,
that they would later document in a scrapbook.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking out loud.
It was 1959's Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really lovely.
Yeah, maybe they sent all the pictures to National Geographic.
Yeah, they were like, let's make some money on the side. That's a nice mountain.
Yeah, we've only got that £700,000 in cash that we stole. I'm pretty sure we could do with another $70.
Okay. Who's paying for breakfast?
Not me.
Quote from the FBI website. We were able to piece together the movements of the thieves from city to city. And then it said, follow their trail across this map below.
What, they misspelled
trail. It's not a trial. Someone got like excited, like they go to trial. Oh my God, I've just come.
See?
Trail.
I told you guys, Silence of the Lambs is the only good FBI one.
That's not the worst part of that sentence. Follow their trail across this map below. The map is above on the website. Oh my God, I don't mean, but oh, are my standards too high? But like, no. Sort your shit out.
I'm
FBI.
With you. I will forgive someone cutting a finger off, but bad admin.
Bad admin.
Come on now.
No, it's like, can I run this website?
Yeah, is it like Wikipedia? Like anyone can get involved? Like, I have a gun, I'd like to help. Is that the FBI?
Okay. Yeah. Anyway. It is.
Fucking J. Edgar Hoover, don't get me started. Were there suspects?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Yes, there were.
The ex-husband's henchmen.
Ooh.
It is a panto.
It was a known fugitive, John William Higginson, who was already wanted by the FBI for his connection to a similar robbery in California. Now, Rachel, when you said California, you looked sort of like a psychic. Like, your eyes went still, and you looked at... Yes. She went... Did anyone notice that? So I was like, she can feel things.
Like that?
Exactly like that.
I don't want to say I am psychic, but I am psychic.
Did they get... John William Higginson.
Well, he's a suspect. He's not guilty. What, did they get him for questioning?
Did they find him?
That feels like a name they've thrown out that they can pin it on. That is classic FBI.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think they got him and they questioned him.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And then they were like, this is easy to just say it was this guy. Then we don't have to do any more work.
Hannah George, would you like to fart? Or
well, let's see. No, it's fine. Yes, because I feel like this story doesn't just end there. So yeah, I think they got
it. Yeah, Elizabeth Taylor's not in it yet.
Yeah,
she's not going to be in it. It was a false flag.
Yeah,
was
I
it,
threw
though?
You right off. Listeners, Taylor made a face. Did they get him? You're goddamn right they do. This is the FBI. He is tracked and arrested in Louisiana, but the ring is not in his possession. And the accomplices are nowhere to be seen, so the FBI keep their ear to the ground about anyone trying to sell a large diamond. Now, when you see this thing, it's 33 carats. So I'm just picturing trying to sell that, like just going up to like cash for gold, like, I found a clarinet. And I found this. Any interest in either one of them? No. It's huge.
Now, did they make it into smaller bits? Because I saw a film and I can't remember what it was, but they made a big thing into a smaller thing.
Oh, Hannah George. Hannah George. She likes to pretend. She likes to pretend that maybe she's not that clever.
Is she onto something?
She's onto something.
She onto something correctly.
She's onto something. She's not just butt stuff. She's... other stuff. The FBI had a network of informants across the country who were in with unscrupulous jewelers and dealers. What a job that would be. Like, hey, my name's Sally. Can I hang out by your shop? Yeah. I just feel like I could do that.
I'm an unscrupulous jeweler. I find that very hard to say. No, I can't say it.
It's hard, isn't it? Everybody say unscrupulous jeweler at the same time. 3, 2, 1.
Unscrupulous jeweler.
That was awful, wasn't it?
It's pretty good. One guy was really confident.
Unscrupulous jeweler. Not my first time.
Have you heard that thing of in a sort of a Glasgow accent trying to say purple burglar alarm?
Ooh. No.
Try and say purple burglar alarm in a Glasgow accent.
Purple burglar alarm?
No. Burglar alarm.
Purple burglar alarm.
No, it's impossible.
It's impossible.
Purple burglar alarm.
Wow. Can you do a Glaswegian accent?
Purp. Unscrupulous jeweler.
Oh, that's good. Sorry, any Scottish people.
Sorry,
yeah.
I feel like we've just perp alienated everyone in Scotland.
Mine's worse. It's fine.
Just because it was higher.
Wait.
Wait, sometimes if I do that, it helps me for some reason.
That's good. That's no longer racist.
Purple.
That's fine.
Purple burglar.
Nailed it.
And
we're going to have such a good next Edinburgh.
It's at this point of the show that there are probably 8 to 10 people who took a chance on the name. And they're sitting there going like, what the fuck is this? I thought this was going to be like a fun parody of old-fashioned detective show. What is this shit? And they're angry. And I like that. Podcasts are about making people angry. So 6 weeks after the heist, the FBI get a tip-off about a man trying to sell the ring somewhere in the United States. Would you like to guess what the state was?
California.
Oh, sorry.
Female workplace.
Ooh, now available on a t-shirt. High-quality merch, organic cotton, fair trade. Order from us. Thanks.
Hey, Rachel, do you guys ever drink with your Austin improv? Do we what?
I don't think it's called Austin improv.
Do we drink before?
Yeah, ostentatious.
Only after. We very occasionally drink before, but we're all really quite
professional.
You care about your jobs.
I was going to say boring, but yeah.
Take it seriously. You don't want to piss off those 8 people that took a chance on the thing.
So California, we're agreed.
Okay, no.
If it's not California.
He can't go to California because he is
wanted. New York.
Ooh, very good. Get very close. It borders. What is the inferior New York, New Jersey?
Is it New Jersey?
Yes. I feel really bad for anyone who's listening who Edge lives out. In New Jersey. They would call it an inferior New York. Come on, they know.
This lady down here, they know it.
They know it. Now, tell
they know.
Me.
They're aware.
They're aware. This guy is caught trying to sell this enormous diamond ring. What do you think he does for a living?
Makes hats.
Katie, he does make hats, but only as a hobby.
He's a jeweler for Tiffany's.
Ooh.
Oh, that's better. God. That's better.
Wow, she writes a better story than we actually have on the paper.
Is he like, does he pretend that he's like his fiance has like died or his wife has died?
Ooh,
that would be good. And he's like, I've got this ring and it makes me so sad. I have to get rid of it for up to £300,000. And I'm really sad. Maybe it's that.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
The death tax guy.
Well, the answer is this guy in New Jersey was a grocer.
What?
The this shit writes itself. It's amazing. Like, hello, miss, would you like some carrots? I've got 33 of them in the back. Cash
only. Well, that's
only.
A really good code.
It is.
I would end up buying 33 actual carrots, though. Yeah. I'm like such a sucker for a salesman.
I'd be like, I've just bought a juicer, and yes, I can get through 33 carrots.
And
no,
they'd be
I'm
like,
juicing.
That's $700,000. And you'd be like, it's steep.
But I don't like to argue, so yes indeed.
Now, we don't know much about this guy because he actually becomes an informant. And what I gather, it doesn't say this on their impeccable website, but if you're an informant, I think they sort of, they turn a blind eye, don't they? So I don't think they were like, is this a Sopranos
you
situation?
You can't be prosecuted.
Right.
Because they're like, oh,
right.
He's got such great info.
Yeah, because why is a grocer selling a giant...
Right.
Giant Wait, so ring. He's an informant. Did he inform them about what he was doing?
Look, Hannah, I can explain this super
am I
well.
Am I confused? Okay.
Listen, ready for this. This is the best explanation. He's Snape in Harry Potter.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. I know. So in the end, he's good. Yeah, okay. No.
Oh.
I know.
Let's not get into the Harry Potter stuff later, though. Yeah.
I know I'm going to alienate the room here. Is anyone else the guy who's never read or seen Harry Potter?
Oh, for fuck's sake. There's
a lot
films.
Of the front row.
You have no excuse. It's only 9 hours of your life. Come on. Wait, it's longer than that, isn't it? It's 12 hours of your life.
Do you know what? It's 21 hours because I'm planning a marathon over Christmas. Okay.
Classic Ravenclaw.
Wow. It's probably the nastiest thing anyone's ever said to me.
That's a compliment. They're really clever.
So,
I'm Hufflepuff.
I know it's about a boy and his glasses.
How dare you?
Okay,
sorry.
So the grocer leads them to one of Hagen's... it's so hard to read. The grocer leads them to one of Hagen's accomplices, James Reeves, or Reves, or Reves. Choose your own adventure, I don't know. He's also arrested, and the ring is found in his coat pocket, Hannah George, with its side baguette diamonds removed. And that is the real crime, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't remove the side baguettes.
Baguettes?
Baguettes.
That's a sandwich. It's not like you've got a ring
wow.
with a massive kind of subway
I mean,
coming off
I'm
of it.
I'm embarrassed that I've had so much about diamonds drilled into me, I can tell you, about cuts, clarity.
I thought there's a...
Aftertaste.
So a baguette is the name of the thing, like when you have a side diamond to your
yeah,
diamond.
Yeah, it's the shape, which I think is an insult to a baguette, to be honest.
What? I'm sorry, I'm still not clear. So, so they found the ring.
Yes, and the main diamond is still set,
the
but it had some side baguettes in there.
Oh, right.
Which is, I mean, that's what I do with baguettes. I'm like, it's a snack on the side.
Were they also diamonds or were they other things?
Yeah, because sometimes there are other stones.
No, this was pure diamond.
It was diamonds okay. surrounded by other tiny diamonds.
Did the FBI track down these random baguettes?
I think they now, did.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you're asking it makes me think they would have wanted to brag about it, so probably.
I think maybe they didn't, but they've made it sound like they did or something.
That's a very good guess. They actually did.
Oh.
They tracked down the
I
loose...
I win!
You did win.
Classic
they tracked
Hufflepuff.
Down...
No one expects me to be right.
The diamonds are tracked down with the FBI network to a jeweler in St. Louis, and they're retrieved. So, guys, Vera gets her ring back.
Yay!
Yay, oh. Privilege.
Yay, rich Vera. Long may she live.
But, okay, like, to be fair, imagine how traumatic her experience was to have somebody break in and rip your jewelry off. Yeah. And according to one source, after the trauma of the heist, she decided to live austerely.
Wow.
Can you just explain for the really dumb audience what that means? What does it, a stairly?
It's when you live like Jane Austen, and I think Rachel would know the most about that.
To be fair, Jane Austen lived a pretty austere life.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
She was, you know, a vicar's daughter. She wasn't wealth. I mean, should I do a lecture about Jane Austen?
I mean, I would.
The floor
enjoy
is yours.
It. I don't.
You know, when she was taken to Bath, basically they were like, oh, shit, you're not married still. So they took her to Bath, you know, for a couple of years to try and get her married. And she hated all the social sort of like richness and the sort
of really?
Like...
Oh, really? Because she was used to like a simple life.
Very simple life. Yeah. Just in the countryside, little house, just had her book and her things. And
nice
it wasn't
tea.
A wealthy life at all.
Yeah. And is austere, is that named after Jane Austen?
Oh my god.
Wait, is that a dumb thing to have said? Wait, cut it out. Cut it out. Yes.
So, we don't
I've
know.
I've never thought about that before.
Is it not? Is that, I've just genuinely thought that
I don't
was
living
it
poor. Is, she's living poor.
Oh,
not
but,
even poor.
Oh,
but cutting okay. back. And we don't know what that really meant for Vera Krupp, the woman with a 33 carat diamond. Maybe she was like, lobster?
Once a week.
That's it. Except in the spring when it's in season.
Only a 1-carat diamond.
Yeah! So, two other accomplices are arrested in conjunction with the heist. Are they found guilty?
Well, yes.
Of course they're found guilty. This is the U.S. of fucking A. Hagenson, who's the ringleader, actually wins an appeal, though. And I couldn't find out any more about him or about that because I had to pay for a New York Times subscription if I wanted to learn more, and I just wouldn't do it.
A review called us well-researched the other day. So
I know, yeah. And we've even been mentioned in the New York Times, and I still wouldn't pay for it. Somebody had to tell me.
We got a screenshot from someone, yeah.
You'd never catch a Hufflepuff burning all these bridges. That's dead. I'm going to stop talking about that. Comedy rule of three, and now it's done.
Who cares about the ringleader when this has to do with a Hollywood star? It wound up purchased at auction by one actor and given to another as a present in 1968. What celebrity couple?
Richard Burton and Elizabeth
Taylor. Yes! Well done, Katie Wilkins.
Hooray.
Very well done. I love this. We have so much in common because she's Elizabeth Taylor, I'm Taylor. She married a rich Welsh guy and I married a Welsh guy. Richard bought the ring after Krupp's death for about $300,000. P.S. This isn't even the biggest diamond Burton bought Taylor. He bought her a 79-carat diamond.
Whoa.
What are you compensating for, Dick? For the record, my engagement ring was real small.
What a humble brag.
But so artisanal.
It is full of sourdough. So the Krupp diamond was famous, obviously, because of this history, but Elizabeth Taylor wore it in movies, and she wore it, I don't know, around...
There was an episode of The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure that's the real ring.
I've got to crack on, because I don't want to cut into our time for the audience, but it was renamed the Elizabeth Taylor diamond, and after Taylor's death, which is a weird sentence for me, it was... It was sold at auction in 2011. Final question, detectives. How much was this ring sold for in 2011?
$2 million.
Okay. Okay.
I think it's sad that it's named after Elizabeth Taylor after all that Vera went through with it. So I'm going to be calling it the Vera Diamond.
Okay.
And the Vera Diamond, I think, I'm going to go $3 million.
Oh, okay.
It is on. I think allowing for like what the money would naturally be with inflation... And the fact that Elizabeth Taylor owned it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go $6 million.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay. It was sold for $8.8 million.
Oh, she's
Rachel
done it.
Paris.
Gryffindor's done it.
I know about diamonds. Sorry.
So with today's inflation, its estimated worth is about $9.25 million, or in other words, the cost of a small studio flat in London. Guys, here's to a girl's best friend, and by that I mean a video entry system for your house.
Hey!
Okay. We have so 7 minutes to invite one member of the audience to come up on stage and tell us if they've been the victim of a crime. Guys, we've had a good time. Please don't tell us something harrowing. Come on up. Come on up.
This guy.
No. You don't have to climb. You can use the stairs. Okay, body roll, go. Yes!
What's your name?
Hello.
Hi. I'm Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Oh my Happy God.
Happy birthday! Yay! Laura!
Happy
Laura.
Birthday, Laura!
We literally. I mean,
listeners at home, she has a big birthday girl badge.
Yeah, she's a birthday girl badge, and we have a birthday card for you. Yay! Surprise. Okay, go.
Thank you. Yeah. So mine's actually quite similar to Rachel.
I feel your pain in the things that are not meaningful, but also you're sad about them. So I moved house recently, and I have a security camera outside. But when I moved house, I had a big wicker box that I wanted to get rid of. So I put it in my front garden because I drive a Ford KA, and I needed to like crush it down to take it to the tip.
Sure. You know,
the next day, it had gone.
The wicker box?
Yeah, and I'd sat on it. I'd started crushing it down. To add insult to injury,
like something crunchy in your salad?
So I just moved house and I have a kitten and he was stressed. So he'd also peed in the wicker box.
In the wicker box.
Which is part of the reason why I was getting rid of it.
Does anyone else love Laura more than you have to anyone?
For so a long time.
Are you her mother?
Yay!
Well, happy birthday to you. This is really... This is your day.
Were you there when the wicker box went missing? Or you were there when she was born?
I mean... Where do you live?
I live in Kent.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I feel like what is a half-crushed wicker box good for? Yep. And the answer coming to me is kindling.
Ooh.
But it's covered in cat pee as well.
It's covered in cat pee, but would they know that when they stole it?
Fuel.
No, they knew that when they put it in the car about 5 minutes down the road.
What would they steal that for? Someone who's gonna...
And I mentioned...
Are you sure you just don't have really considerate...
Oh, yeah, a security camera.
Oh, wait. I didn't... You know, I put the clues out there. For the detective, you know.
Oh, she's listened before. She's very good.
Not an amateur. No,
Laura, you got to know. We're drunk.
So I watched it back, and I saw a guy dragging it.
It's Tim Minchin.
A guy dragging it. And then, but then I obviously couldn't see his face or anything. So I
saw a man dragging this thing.
Was he a bin man?
What time? It was just a Sunday afternoon.
I just feel like it's good refuse. Like Kent's like quite
no,
nice.
No, it's just
and there are these men that keep taking my bags full of things that I've used.
Someone dragged.
Wait, what time?
Crushed.
What time was this?
Just a Sunday afternoon.
A Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. And I live in a cul-de-sac, so they must have like been walking. It wasn't like my house. You wouldn't like you could see it and be like, oh yeah, that's a great.
No, he had been casing the joint. It's like this is quality wicker.
Now,
and I mean,
I'm from the Isle of Wight, ladies and gentlemen, and we know good wicker. If you come to the Isle of Wight and have a Diet Coke, you're putting a wicker man. So. It's, I think he might have been a wicker man guy.
Oh.
You know, I think
he was a wicker man guy.
Yeah, he was making a wicker man.
That is the best explanation.
That is very good. I think we've solved it, but also, Laura, happy birthday, and would you like a bottle of Prosecco on us?
Yes!
Laura, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, you can go that way. There are some steps. Yeah.
No, health and safety. Don't barrel roll off a stage. Come on. I've only
That's
done
really
that six
case.
Times. Never again.
I know. That was
That's
good.
A
I
really think, good case.
I think we gave her a lot of closure.
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely solved it. Yeah.
I hope definitely. That's a salve for the blackmail as well. Rachel, I just like to say salve.
You do it well.
Vestibule. Rachel, we have just enough time to ask, what would you like to talk about? What have you got going on? What would you like to plug?
Ooh! I'm glad, because often there's nothing, and yet, I'd like to plug the fact that, sorry, I'm really drunk. I'm going on tour next year.
Woo!
I know, I'm excited as well. I've finally written some new material. It's a show called All Change Please, and it's starting in February and it's ending in June. So check out
that.
my website, rachelparis.com.
Yay!
Rachel Paris, ladies and gentlemen.
Rachel! We have been Drunk Women Solving Crime. You have been amazing, and we gotta get the fuck out of here, or Stuart Lee will literally kill us all. Thank you so much.
Thank
Happy
you!
Christmas!
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.